All right, everybody, welcome back. Happy New Year. Today is the new year, 2024. Here we are. Hope everyone had a good night. We were safe and we didn't make any bad choices. I know I didn't. I stayed up till about 3 o'clock in the morning watching Law and Order. But before that, I went and spent time with family and we did it sober. And it was beautiful. Life is. Well, so this is the third edition of this podcast. I appreciate everybody that is following along. It is a blessing to have you in my life. And I hope that further moving down the line that you guys can enjoy these podcasts and that this is going to turn into something great. I don't think that it will. I know it will, because every week I strive to find new ways of doing this. This week, unfortunately, we do not have a guest, not yet. I was told to keep, you know, doing things without a guest speaker until I, you know, had a few under my belt, so my listeners can kind of get a handle and feel for who I am. So again, my name is Chad Rodabaugh. And I am the host of this show, Radical Acceptance. Last week, we went through Radical Acceptance and what it means to me. I hope it resonated with you guys. I've been listening to my podcasts and I have been finding, you know, that there's different ways of talking and speaking and not to get so excited and raise my voice, lower it so that these podcasts aren't hard to listen to. So that is my biggest struggle right now with these. And so let's go. So today, everyone, I want to talk about life after recovery. Now, I've been in recovery for 9 months. I was a meth addict only. I smoke some weed here and there. Every now and again, I might take a few sips of alcohol. But my main objective was meth only. And I had a ton of it. I didn't ever have to worry about where my next, you know, fix was coming from. I'm not an IV user. In my whole 29 years of using, I never IV used once. I'm not saying that with a badge of honor. I just knew that if I started IV using, I would go down a different path. And, you know, I was more involved with the criminal aspect of things. I moved a lot of drugs, spent a lot of time in prison over it. My first charges was a operation of a clandestine lab, which was a meth lab back in the early 2000s. And so you can only imagine, you know, the path I've been down using meth, not just using meth, but being a gang member in the criminal aspect of my drug addiction. And I'm not sure if I would have done all of those criminalistic activities without drugs. I just don't feel the same way without it. And so I can definitely say that meth fueled my fire and I changed a lot of lives over it, including my own. But so here we go. So I'm finding that as I'm looking into recovery, that people use that their drug of choice is in recovery from their drug of choice. So I guess I'm saying that wrong. So basically is what I'm saying is if you're not using your drug of choice, then you're not an addiction. You can still smoke weed, right? You can still drink alcohol and hang out with people, right? Wrong. I don't think that's right. I know there's people in this world that have successfully been able to do that. And I definitely don't promote it. I think that a lot of people are going down that road these days. They're saying they're still in recovery. However, they're still drinking alcohol. They smoke weed now. It's for anxiety. They went and got on Adderall or what have you. And just because it's prescribed by a doctor, it's okay. But yet, you know, we're having a rough day. Maybe we'll have two or three of these instead of just one. You know, it's just that is always there. And some people can do it, and I just want to know, are you guys one of those people that can do that? As for me, I don't know if I am or not. I don't feel like I am being honest if I'm out using other illicit drugs. I do have a prescription for Wellbutrin, and you know, there's days where I want to take two or three of those. I don't know what it would do, but I know when I take it in the morning and then in the afternoon, I'm like, man, should I have two or three of these? And then that's when I know I'm struggling. That's when I know that I need to take a break and figure out what it is that's making me feel the way I don't want to feel, because I'm thinking about abusing Wellbutrin. And like I said, I don't know what it does. I know when I was locked up, people called them wellies, and they would, you know, save a bunch of them and they'd all get fucked up on it. And really, I'm not sure. However, it's not meth. So I don't think I would be interested. You know, I wasn't interested in the bath salts. I wasn't interested in heroin or, you know, I sold fentanyl. I was one of those people, but I never used it. Not once, not once. I used to sell heroin too. Not one time did I ever abuse those drugs. However, I do remember one time it was snowy outside, and my girlfriend at the time, it was probably 2015. She was abusing heroin. She was an IV user, and you know, I never understood it. However, you know, I was in a new car. It was, like I said, snowing. The snow was on the back window, and so when the cop got behind me, they didn't see my temp tag that was in the window, so they pulled me over. Well, I had an 8-ball of heroin in my pants, so I threw it in my Monster drink, and she started emptying her syringes in there, because she would just load her syringes up to, you know, take them with us so that she could have her fixes. You know, I don't know. Anyways, that's what she would do. The reason why I got into selling heroin is because I had a girlfriend that used heroin, and it just made more sense to me to be able to provide her with the heroin she needed so that she wouldn't have to go out and find it, which in turn was better for me, because you know how it's like when you go, like during COVID, they told you don't go to parties. They, you know, none of that stuff. It's the same thing. Why? Because you might bring the sickness back. Well, I didn't want her out in the streets with all those heroin addicts scoring heroin. She might bring the cops back. You know, I don't need that. You know, I do a lot of things that I don't let a lot of people know about, not even her. And so she might inadvertently bring back the cops. So I just made sure I always had plenty of heroin on hand to keep that going. And I didn't let her sell it. But anyways, I say all that to say this. So I get pulled over, and, you know, I just had it, you know, I always had a Monster, you know, one of those energy drinks. And so it was halfway gone. No, it was almost, there's like only a quarter left in it. And so, you know, we put our heroin in there, and I take my heroin out of the bag, and I stuff the bag in there too. That way, you know, if they get the bag, the heroin's not in it. You know, it's mixed up in the drink. They might, it's just better off that way anyways. So that was just my deluded way of thinking that I'm going to get away. So the cop sees that I have everything, my insurance, you know, I'm always legit. I always make sure everything's good. They don't even harass me one bit. So as I'm driving off, guess what I do? Swallow the heroin. Why? Because just muscle memory. You know, my mouth is dry because the cops are there. And, you know, I needed a drink. And I just took a drink. And I drank that. I swallowed the whole thing. And that OD'd me. Almost died. Yeah. Yep. We had to call the ambulance. And it was in the middle of, you know, a highway that was full of snow. And I just remember stopping the car, rolling out, and the same cop that pulled me over. Anyways, so I guess that was the time I used heroin, right? So anyways, that's nor here nor there. But other than that, I've never, you know, and after that, I'm not gonna lie, after that, I stopped using meth too for a long time. It wasn't until the feds was after me that I started using meth again. I probably was clean off of everything after that heroin thing, because for like a month. And then all of a sudden, you know, I found out the feds was getting ready to indict me. So I just started using meth again. And of course, I was all strung out by the time the feds interrupted me. So anyways, that is my story on that. I don't know how we got into that, but you know, through all of those trials and tribulations, I've never wanted to use other drugs but meth. Not even now. You know, every now and again I got an inkling to go drink a beer or something, but unless I'm going to have meth, I don't want it. But like I said, sometimes I think about abusing my Wellbutrin, or sometimes I think about stopping and having a few beers. But I know that if I do that, that's leading me down the path to be back on meth again. And that is something that I want to leave behind me forever. I never want to do that again. I just love it too much. And so I'm just wondering, listeners, are you out there struggling with something like that? And how do you get through it? As for me, what I'm doing now is I'm just taking it one step at a time. And like I said, every time I feel like I'm going to, like, I want to abuse anything, you know, if I feel like I want to abuse spaghetti, you know, like I'm going to go get 10 big plates of spaghetti and just down them. Like that's problematic, right? So that's when I stop to think, okay, what is it that's making me feel the way I don't want to feel? And that's problematic for me. So for now, right now, I can tell you I have a ton of anxiety. And so that's making me want to do the same thing. You know, I want to just make that anxiety go away. I want to tame that anxiety. And abusing anything at all, if I want to drink too much water, you know, that's problematic. I got to make sure that what I'm doing is healthy, not just for my body, but for my mind as well, and for my life. And so right now I'm about to get off federal parole on the 11th. And here I am just going, oh my gosh, anything can happen. What if some old charges come up? What if this? What if that? What if this? And then I find myself praying to my higher power to please release me from this anxiety, because, you know, I'm so close to the gate that so close to everything that I can feel it, you know, but I've got so many demons in my past that are coming back to haunt me. It's like I have anxiety and it's, you know, I have bad dreams. I have all of that. And so it's like the ballad of a, you know, ex drug user, gang member, you know, trafficker. And here I am now with only myself to reflect back on. And, you know, while I'm not super happy about anything that I've done, as I reflect back on it, you know, it was my life for so long. And I used drugs to tame my anxiety for whatever I had anxiety about. So I probably wouldn't have done any of those criminalistic activities had I not been on drugs. Or maybe I would have, but I doubt it. None of my other family's on drugs that I know of. And yet, here I am, the only drug addict in my family, and now that I'm not on drugs, I have anxiety. But is it just, you know, my guilty conscience I have anxiety? Or is there always going to be something that I'm stressed out about, and it's something that, you know, calls me back in to want to abuse some sort of substance? And am I going to find a way to curb that in an unhealthy way? No, I'm not. Why? Because I recognize it. I can accept that I don't understand it. And I can try to figure out what it is that's making me feel the way I don't want to feel. So I go through the list. You know, why am I feeling the way I don't want to feel? Chad, why do you feel like that? Well, first things first, you have a very, very long history of not just drug abuse, but activities that you're worried that will come back to haunt you. You're paranoid about it. You think for sure that nobody's going to let you have a good life, that you've always got to be locked up or stressed out about the law coming to get you. Like, I am literally 10 days away from that. And yet here I am. I don't think I'm going to make it. And not because I'm out doing criminal activities. I just don't think I'm going to make it. And that's problematic. Very problematic. And it makes me want to, you know, go have a beer. It makes me want to, you know, take more Wellbutrin for whatever reason. You know, it makes me, you know, I've been eating a little more sweets than usual. Drinking a little bit more coffee than I usually do. You know, I don't vape. I don't smoke. Like, I live a pretty clean life nowadays, considering. And I just am constantly checking myself. Check. And so, you know, I know that if I allow myself to do one of those things, the rest of it is a slap away. I'm a slap away from it. And, you know, one of the problematic issues with that is I'm always a slap away from it. I'm a slap away from being a drug addict again, always. I'm one bad choice away from being a drug addict forever. And if I let that go, if I get cocky, arrogant, or I let my ego take over, it's all bad. And so, you know, I'm egotistical by nature. It's in who I am or who I was. You know, I've been checking that ego a lot lately. And I just can't let myself get complacent. And that's where I'm at right now, guys. And so I'm reaching out to all you guys out there that may or may not be listening. And I just want to say I love you, because here I am on this podcast, Radical Acceptance, just jibber jabbering away about something that I don't even know what I'm doing yet. And I don't mean about the podcast. We all know I don't know what I'm doing there. I'm talking about this recovery shit. Fucking, it's weird. You know? Like, I felt normal when I was on drugs for all those years. Or so I thought I did. Now I feel rewarded. But it's like, man, can I get through this? I'm constantly fighting myself. I'm constantly fighting, not because I want to go use. I'm constantly on an up and low, I mean, up and down roller coaster. And it's hard to maintain sometimes. And here I am being vulnerable to everybody, just letting you guys know, man, I fucking struggle. I struggle and I'm struggling. And this is where I'm at. However, you know, God is good. And I fall asleep in prayer and I wake up in prayer. And lately I've been watching a lot of Bible movies, a lot of the Bible stuff that's on Amazon Prime. Thank you. I just put in religion and I'm watching, you know, all the Bible stuff, and I'm learning a lot. I mean, I've read the Bible before, but I just love it. It's the word of something greater than myself, because sometimes I think I'm greater than everything. And so for me to be humble enough to recognize that I'm not is a step in the right direction, you know? And that's hard for me, because for 29 years prior to this, man, I was the coolest person in my mind. No, I was unstoppable. The world was my petri dish. Yeah, here I go. You know, I can do this forever. I'll retire in prison. I'm good in prison. You know, I'm a stand-up guy. You know, my criminal underworld record was fucking flawless. Love you. Yes. Man, was I wrong. Wrong. That's all ego, guys. And that's what I want to talk to you about for the next 15 minutes is ego. Why does our ego just run rampant? What is it about our ego or about ourselves that lets our ego in like that? And then we can't recognize that we're just being egotistical. We think it's cool. It's cool, man. Let's let our ego run our lives. Next thing you know, you're a narcissist, or, you know, worse, you've killed yourself because you let your ego get in the way and someone killed you. Or worse yet, you ran your car or your motorcycle or whatever. And the meth fuels that ego. And it's very reckless. It's very reckless. So, you know, what do you guys do to check your ego? I can tell you what I do. I humble myself every day. Not by saying, hey, Chad, you're a fucking piece of shit. Oh, Chad, you're no good. Oh, Chad, no. No, 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 no. Chad, you're worth it. Chad, I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Those are humbling words, guys. I know. You're going to hear it a lot out of me. My mom taught me that. Yeah. My mom taught me that. Those are humbling words. Sometimes when I'm struggling, those are the only words I can find for myself. Thank you. I love you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. It's crazy, you know, because I'm struggling so hard. That's all I can find inside of me is that. It's just a no. I just know I have to humble myself. You know, I don't go around lying to people no more. I don't lie about my life. I don't lie about my past. I don't lie about anything. I have been transparent about everything up to this point, not on the podcast, but to my people around me, my family members, you know, the people that live around me at all times. I've been transparent to them. I don't have one secret that I'm holding as of this point. Not that these guys know my whole history of from before, but since this last 9 months, I have been just transparent. And when I find myself trying to manipulate the system, I always come back to correct it. And that takes a lot of humbleness. That takes the ego out of it, because the world is not my petri dish and people are real. And, you know, who the fuck am I to go around and do shit like that? That's just out of this world to me. So one of the things that I'm in recovery from is being manipulative, you know, lying, having ulterior motives, second, you know, lives that people don't even know I have. I'm not out doing things that people don't know about. I'm accountable, but I'm not just accountable to the people around me, because that's not what this is about. I'm accountable to myself. And that is what is keeping me straight. And now we just figured it out. And those are the things that I go through on a daily basis. Every day I fight myself to do this. Sorry, I don't fight. I'm sorry, that's the wrong word. I don't fight. Every day within love. That's me correcting myself. Because when I start to be fighting, I start to go down that rabbit hole. But I'm not fight. I'm love. And I love you guys. Don't fight yourself. Love yourself. Be accountable to yourself. All right, everybody. I'm going to cut this a little few minutes short. Happy New Year. I love you. Thank you, God. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. Peace out.